Welcome to A New Prescription, where we explore modern healthcare, cutting-edge medical research and technology, and the complexities of healthcare politics. Join us as we provide insights and solutions to help you navigate the American healthcare system. Welcome back to A New Prescription. We're so excited to have you. I am very excited about today's guest because I'm actually a patient of today's guest. Really, what we're going to be talking about is how do you predict disease and can you do it before you get sick? America is very reactive when it comes to disease, and we're going to find out and talk about why and how you can prevent it. I have Rich Gamez on with us. I'm not going to butcher your introduction. So Rich, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you, and then we can get into, you know, prevention and disease prevention. And then we can even talk about some of the things that I've benefited from our working sessions tremendously over the past 2-3 years.
All right. Again, my name is Richard Gamez. I'm a certified epigenetic human performance coach. I'm also a physician assistant, so I was medically trained, classically trained through our healthcare system. Currently, I'm specializing in creating precision health plans for individuals. And the way we do that is using genetic testing, biomarkers. We used to use the term labs. The new term for that is biomarkers. We integrate all of that to create a precise precision lifestyle plan for each individual. It's one of the most rewarding things I've done. Healthcare system, as we'll get into these days, as we get into this conversation, we'll get into that a little bit, and you'll see how I feel, my feelings about the current healthcare system and what's going on. Hopefully, it's starting to move in the right direction now. But yeah, that's what I do. It's fun. I love doing this, and you know, I love working with people who want to feel better. They're not just running away from disease. So the goal here is to get people better to an optimized health and lifestyle.
Well, we think you're really optimistic, but we like it. I think it's a great idea. Let's talk a little bit about why America is really a disease care system, not a healthcare system. And I think we can move on from there. I do believe we are more disease focused, and I think you're trying to change that. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Little bit of a background again, coming back to my background. Originally, I was a paramedic, then went to PA school. And it seems like we're always trying, we're on the back end, on the reactive side. Heard one of my mentors, people I listen to a lot, saying, you know, it's like catching eggs that are falling from a roof. And you're down at the bottom with a glove trying to catch all these eggs. You can't catch them all. Instead, let's get up on the roof and stop dropping them. So let's get in front of this. And that's where I think America's healthcare system is built on this. It's a reactive. We wait for people to get sick. Disease care is a good way to put it. I use the term sick care. We wait for individuals to become sick. You come into the office. Oh, you have this. We tag them with something, a diagnosis, and then we manage that for them. We never really get them out of it. Most doctors tell their patients when they come into the office, if their hemoglobin A1C is 5.7, 5.8, they give them the diagnosis of pre-diabetic. They tell them you're diabetic. That's it. You're going to have this the rest of your life. You got to take this medication. That's not true. We know for a fact that that's not true. There are lifestyle modifications, sustainable lifestyle modifications that we can start to use that can get that person to A1C back under 5.8. Seven, get them to 5.2, 5.3 into that optimized range, and they are no longer diabetic.
So tell us a little bit about how lab data like that can unmask what may be in the future and how to head that off, because it sounds like that's where you're going.
Yeah, that's a great question. Generally, in the sick care system and disease care, they wait for symptoms to start showing up. For the insurance company to pay for a specific test, they have to prove that the person or the patient's already having some symptoms. So what I do is I get way ahead of that. I order pretty extensive biomarker testing, and putting that together, we can start to see where somebody is heading, in what direction that's heading, or at least, let me rephrase that. That's a snapshot of where they are right now, connected with their genetic testing that we do. then I can see where they're from, where they're coming from, and then this snapshot gives me a direction. If somebody has a predisposition, I can see that through the genetic testing for a poor metabolism of glucose or a predisposition for type 2 diabetes, and their hemoglobin is 5.6, and we don't make any changes, and I ask them about their lifestyle, I can guarantee you that if they're not, their lifestyle isn't matching up, I can tell you 6 months from now or next time we do their labs, they're going to be a 5.7 or 5.8, putting them in that diagnosis code of prediabetes.
When you
So
talk about genetic testing, that's, I think, what I think we uniquely want to focus on here, because that's not typical. That's not.
no, that's totally out of the range of our current healthcare system.
Tell us what it is.
This is the part that excites me the most.
Right. Tell us what it is, how you do it, and what it tells you.
Pretty simple. It's not a blood test. It is an oral swab. You send it back to the company that we use. Fantastic company. It checks for 865,000 single nucleotide polymorphisms. We'll get into that later, maybe if we have the time today. What that tells me is all of the predispositions that somebody has for appetite sensing, appetite control, fullness, the best diet for them, whether it's Mediterranean, keto, carnivore, vegan. It kind of gives us all of these things, what their best sleep structure is like, the times that they should be going to sleep. It gives me a full background on their genetics. In the United States right now, all of us have a mixture. We're from somewhere else. There's nobody's genetics that's here from the United States. We're all from somewhere else. And now we've been introduced to this diet and this lifestyle that is not normal to our genetics. So our genetics is having a hard time dealing with this. And then that's where a lot of disease and inflammation and lack of being able to control our stress levels, anxiety, depression, people finding, comfort in drugs or food because we don't know how to deal with what this environment is doing this to us.
Is this the epigenetics that you talk about?
Right. So
Well,
that's where.
what's a definition of epigenetics?
Right.
How do you test for it? And what does it mean?
So, epigenetics, a certified epigenetic human performance coach, that's where my training came in. So, your genetics is, it is what it is. We can't change that. You were born with that. Epigenetics
That's the
is.
sequence of your DNA.
Right, it's your DNA, absolutely. And then, so a single nucleotide polymorphism is, let's say, let's use one example of COMT. If you have an AA, an AG, or a GG, you're going to have different responses to stress levels. Your brain just works differently for each one of those. You
So
get
tell us what COMT is.
it's oh my goodness, I knew you were going to ask me that. It's I'll have
Well,
to
what's it for? I mean, what is it?
So it. Basically, most of the cells in your body have this pattern on how it's going to function and how it's going to react to different things. So some people are more of the warrior type that they're going to get on to the next thing. They're not going to worry so much about what's going on. They're just on to the next one and then on to the next one. They may be a little scattered. They're not finishing off this next one before they move on to the other one. The AG is the person who's a mediator. They're kind of right in the middle. And then the other one is the worrier. They kind of worry about every little thing that's going on. Everything that's going on, they're not going to generally move on to the next one till this one's all tied up and the bow is tied.
And
Okay, they
that's locked into people's DNA.
that's locked into people's DNA. And that's what some people may call it their personality, or some people may use, a little obsessive compulsive, those kind of things all fall into that. A lot of it, not 100%. There is no one single nucleotide polymorphism that's going to predict a person's outcome. So we group these together in bundles, and we put these bundles together, and then we can kind of create a prediction or a propensity.
So that's locked into the DNA sequence.
Yes,
What is
absolutely.
epigenetic? Because I
So,
think that's different.
right. Now, epigenetics is the science on how we can control that. So there's histones and there are markers that get placed on that DNA that can either shrink that, so it makes that section of your DNA unreadable. If it's unreadable, you're not going to express it. So if you're not expressing it, then I don't have to worry about it. Now, if it's wide open, you're going to express it. So epigenetics, the easiest way to kind of make that a little bit more understandable is it's kind of like a dimmer switch for a light or a fan. An example is if somebody has a propensity for diabetes, that's just a really easy one to use as an example, and they're eating a lot of sugar, they're not working out, smoking, drinking, and not sleeping well, that section of their DNA is wide open and knows that gene is going to express itself. That person is going to become a diabetic.
So you're saying that the environment in which DNA sits can alter the degree of expression of that DNA,
Hundred percent.
the gene
Yes.
expression. And what you're trying to do is to use that as a mechanism to either increase or decrease gene expression to the benefits of the patient.
Exactly.
So
100%.
let's do an example. Let's do one that, well, diabetes sounds like a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's easy.
Someone comes to you with that 5.1 A1C, which is a marker for diabetes. 5.7 is not abnormal, but it's high. It's getting to the point where it probably needs to be treated. You are saying you don't need drugs to treat it. We can do something else. What else can you do?
Okay, so that's where the light, every going back to that a little bit. One of the things that I do when I'm working with clients, I know we all from the medical field, we use the word patients. I prefer clients. So when I'm working with my clients, first thing we'll start to do is I go through a pretty significant questionnaire on their lifestyle, what they are, how much they're working out, exercises, food, supplements, they're on any medications, and we'll start going through that. So once I've got that, then I can start to develop a sustainable plan for them. Because if I tell somebody, you've got to do these 10 different things over these next 6 weeks, they may work with me for 2 to 3 weeks and they decide, I can't do this, this is ridiculous, I quit, and they're going to go on, end up at their primary care's office on a drug, which is what I'm trying to avoid. So I'll start working with them on these small changes. Let's adapt this one change. Once you've got that, you've been doing that a week or two, it's part of your lifestyle, that wasn't that hard. Okay, great. Let's add something else to that. And then we keep adding little things like that. And at the same time, we may have to start subtracting things. Hey, that dessert that you're having every night, I'm not saying you got to get rid of it completely. Let's just make it smaller. Let's switch it out for something that doesn't have all that much sugar in it. You can still have something sweet. Let's just start changing it out. And we start to make small modifications to their lifestyle. And those lifestyle modifications are also epigenetic modifications. So it starts to change the expression of those genes.
So you also mentioned supplements. Is that part of this as well?
Yeah, I try to use supplements before getting into pharmaceuticals. There are times when pharmaceuticals are necessary. I'm not saying that they're a bad thing. There are some certain pharmaceuticals that are very good. I don't have anything against metformin, let's say, and a few others, but I try to do everything more obviously keeping most supplements. If they're correctly sourced and somebody knows why they're taking them, or they were introduced or suggested by a provider like myself, we're doing it with a specific reason. And we are going to test in the future to make sure that this is actually working the way we want it to.
I don't, what about an example of that? What
Well,
kind of?
I will give an example of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Me, Rich and
Okay.
I,
Good. I like
so
it.
we've been working for like 3 years together. We check
Yeah.
my blood every quarter or so to see
Yeah.
what metrics we're hitting. We do talk about like lifestyle, but one of the things that came up is that my cholesterol is at the higher range, and that's probably genetic. I mean, the first stop to look at the intervention is there something we can change from a lifestyle? I eat pretty healthily, low carb, high protein diet. Probably not coming from that. What Rich wanted to do is not get me on Crestor right away, just because there's side effects. I was in the upper, echelon of the range, not completely high. So then we went to Ferrasterol. I think it was Ferrasterol, as a supplement that you can get off Fullscripts. It's not prescribed by a doctor, but prescribed by Rich and his team. And now we're going to retest next quarter to see where our mile markers are when it comes to my cholesterol. So
Well, tell us a little
the
bit
next
about
step
the
after
drug.
that would be maybe
Tell
we
us
think
about that
about.
drug. What does that drug do? The
Well,
supplement do?
yeah, so what it just helps the body bind up some of the LDL particles and helps them get them out of the system. There are, and this is why I like doing the genetic testing, the plant sterols. The plant sterol looks just like cholesterol, like the left hand versus the right hand, they look exactly alike. There are some people that have a propensity to absorb that plant cholesterol, the plant sterol, into their body. Now it attaches, it got in and got through the intima of the gut, got into your blood supply, and it attaches to the cholesterol molecule inside. Now that those two are attached, you can't get them out. That's stuck inside there. So the genetic testing tells me where somebody has that plant sterol risk, and I will not put them on that on that supplement, because if they don't have that plant sterol risk, when the plant sterol is in the gut and it reaches the intima, the cholesterol gets attracted from the inside to the outside. Now it's in your gut, and you're gonna deposit it in the bathroom. So that's one of those things where we have the science knowing that we can get that cholesterol out without having to go to a medication like Crestor, where most people have a lot of people have symptoms or side effects too. And I believe the number needed to treat, this is for individuals that are at risk of having a cardiovascular event. The number needed to treat, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is 110. So to prevent one cardiac incident, you have to treat 110 people. That means that you're subjecting 109 people to possible life-changing side effects. So I'd rather do it with something that's not going to cause that. Another simple way to do that is just increase somebody's fiber. Right before jumping on the call with you, I was just talking to actually one of my office manager. She's having a little bit of trouble with her son, getting her son online, and the kid's a teenager, and he's already having some issues. And I go, look, before you do anything, just have him start taking. He drinks a protein shake every day. Have him put 10 milligrams of fiber, psyllium husk, into his protein shake. Simple. It'll slow down the process of the absorption. He's going to get more protein absorbed by doing that, and he's going to pull some of that cholesterol out of his blood.
And
Simple.
Andrew, what's your next step?
For me, we're going to retest
Yeah,
just
so
to
I
see
generally,
where my markers are. I'd like to not go on Crestor, just given some of the side effects. So if I keep it in the range that we're in, we can kind of discuss it.
And how
But
many
there's
have you
been
done
even
with it?
smaller incremental changes. Like one of the things I want to do is lose fat, gain muscle. One of the things that Rich and I did is after 7 o'clock, I don't eat. I don't eat till I wake up. So you go
That's a
into
huge part of our environment. Yeah, that's something that, all of our genes, every single gene, the bacteria that's in our gut, they all have a gene called the clock gene, and they're supposed to be working at certain times. Your pancreas has its clock genes, your kidney has clock genes, every part of your body has its own set of clock genes. And if you're eating within 3 hours of going to bed, you've just turned on genes that their clock gene is supposed to be sleeping, it's supposed to be at rest. You just turned it on. Now you're not going to get a good night's rest. And tomorrow morning, oh man, I just don't feel good. I'm tired. I'm dragging at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're tired. And nobody even thinks that it's because they ate, something, whatever it was, at, 15, 20, 30 minutes before going to bed.
And
It's
I've
a
actually found that I don't have to be as strict during the day before 7 o'clock by going into a small fast between 7 and 7 or 8 and 8. My body isn't as particular when it's eating. Maybe I have a little bit more of a carb day that day. Like it can now adjust and get back to its homeostasis. And I feel like I'm better.
Right. Yeah.
What about the drug, the supplements you've taken? Is it easy to take?
Yeah, it's once a day. I take it. I think I take it in the morning. I mean, it's pretty big, so I'm like having to down it with a full glass of water.
I
It's like a
know.
horse pill. But my body doesn't care. It's pretty easy to take every day, once a day, and that's it.
Right.
Rich, when do you go beyond supplements and start to think about taking pharmaceuticals?
Okay, that's a great question because that's a super important part of what we do. A lot of the individuals that come to me are already because of word of mouth. I don't really do much advertising any right now. I'm just strictly word of mouth. So the people that are coming to me are usually people that are already healthy and they're, hey, I want to optimize. I want to know what I can keep doing. I've gotten here by luck. I have no idea how I've gotten here, but I'm doing pretty good. So they want to, but there's this certain individual who's really starting to have problems. And if I was working under the sick care, disease care program, they would end up with a diagnosis code. I don't like using diagnosis codes. I like to plan on goals. This is where we're moving to. This is where we're going to go. And these tags, diagnoses are going to fall off. I'm not so much concerned about that. Now, where sometimes I do have to start some medications, whether it be metformin, rosuvastatin, or one of these medications, the best way I like to describe this is depending on the runway. If I see that somebody's pretty healthy and I have the time to get stuff under control with them, their LDL is a little high. It's not too bad. ApoB is a little high, not too bad. Same thing with the LPA. All of these biomarker numbers telling me about their propensity for a coronary incident. If I see that, hey man, this is you've got some impending doom around the corner. I looked back at your genetics. You have a propensity for coronary artery disease. We better do something about this now. In other words, we got to slam on the brakes. Okay, we need to do more of these lifestyle changes. They're not going to be so subtle, and I'm going to start them on a medication. 3 months later, we're going to retest. And if I see that the numbers are coming down, okay, depending on where we are, I mean, we do this under the 3 to 6 months. And then we start to wean off the medication, get them back. And during that time, the most important piece is getting their lifestyle fixed. Because if they're just going to do this and get their drugs straightened, the numbers straightened out, come off the drug. Like an example is all everybody talking about the craze with the GLP-1s. You put somebody on a GLP-1, so they stop eating, they lose the weight, they get to their goal weight, they come off the GLP-1. 2 months later, they gained all the weight back because they didn't make any lifestyle changes. So my goal is to work with them during that time as I'm getting the numbers right, whether it's their body weight number, their body mass composition, or their cholesterol, or their blood sugar numbers. We may use the medication as a tool, but it's not the only tool. It's just to get us to a certain spot.
I mean, that happened with me. We started, we saw our markers for testosterone were low or lower or abnormal when we started. First, we did DHEA, Dad. It's a supplement that helps increase testosterone. It was a little bit better after we did the next test, but we decided to go on a pharmaceutical Clomid and it's worked. My testosterone levels are really good now.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely.
I've seen a benefit. So that's when we transition from supplement. I'm actually still taking the supplement, but also the prescription has allowed me to really keep the muscle mass that I want, and increase the testosterone that I didn't have.
And
So let's.
without the use of androgens like testosterone, I use testosterone on a lot of clients, but for my younger clients that have they're still thinking about having children or something in the future, I'm not going to put them on testosterone. Somebody who's already, I'm not having any more kids and I'd like my testosterone to be a little bit higher, I'm absolutely okay with doing that, 100%.
So tell me how you integrate all of this. You've got the data from traditional lab testing. You've got the SNP analysis, which is basically a reflection of the actual DNA sequence within the genes.
Right, you got
Then
it.
you have the question of the epigenetics and can you influence gene expression with external environmental changes like diet and sleep and exercise? How do you put all this together and come up with a plan for a patient and then subsequently look at specific markers? Obviously, the SNP analysis never changes. That is what it is.
Yes.
But the genetic sequencing, but the epigenetics is you can't measure that, but you can influence gene expression.
Yes,
So how do
exactly.
you put it all together for a patient?
Well, that's where my training came in. Luckily, I've worked with a couple of really great doctors that have taught me a bunch. Without their help, I wouldn't be where I am today. First thing is, I do to get the questionnaire from them. We do the labs and we get the biomarkers before I sit down with that patient again. Normally, that second visit with that patient client is going to be about an hour and a half to 2 hours. That's the time I'm going to take with them to explain to them what's going on and create a plan. Before I get to that point, I'm sitting looking at all of that data, probably about generally an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of time of putting that plan together. They're currently working on some AI models that'll do that. And I do think that the AI models that are working on, and I'm not talking about ChatGPT because ChatGPT is just, it's everything that's out there on the internet. So working on an AI model, which is only the information that we're giving it. Because right now, ChatGPT is taking everything. It could have been a 12th grader that wrote a good piece and got picked up, and they call that hallucinations for ChatGPT. You're not really sure what you're going to get back.
Right.
Right now, it's all done, let's say, manually, sitting there 2 hours worth of work of going through there, looking at all the person's, let's say, when I'm looking at their cardiovascular risk and their lipid risk. On the genetic side, I'm also at that point in time looking at their labs, their biomarkers. This is the snapshot of where they are right now. Oh, they told me they're not working out. They're not getting any zone two training and they're eating a bunch of carbs. Okay, so here's that section. This is the section on how we're going to deal with your lipids. Then the next section, I'm looking at, their food. What food is the best food for them? What they told me they're eating, and section by section.
Based on the labs and the SNP analysis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, their current lifestyle.
Yes, of course.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess here's the big question, and especially after you talk about the time it takes for you to figure all this out, does insurance pay for any of this, and shouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, you should. If insurance paid this and we had real preventative medicine in this country, we would cut down healthcare costs by billions of dollars. I'm hopeful that the current administration, with especially RFK Jr., sets out to keep some of his promises. It looks like he's trying, but he's fighting a battle of wheels that have been spinning in this direction in a long time. You're fighting the medical industry. That my humble opinion is that our healthcare system is built for income, not for outcomes. So. The
That's right.
doctor, and it's not the doctor's fault. I love doctors. I was trained, through medical school, through the medical model. We were practicing what we were taught. And what we were taught is to find a diagnosis, find them a drug, or find them surgery. We weren't taught how to prevent medicine. Doctors go through medical school and they may have 1 hour of nutritional training, no training on exercise physiology, no training on supplementation. Unfortunately, the insurance model waits for somebody to be sick, gives them a diagnosis code, and then they will treat that. But there's no money in for what I do. And if I'm going to sit with somebody an hour and a half to 2 hours doing what I do, there's no billing code for that. There's no billing code for healthy, for a healthy conversation. There's no billing code for that, so the insurance won't pay for it. I'm hoping that in the future, more people like myself start to pay attention. There's a couple of great conferences here in the United States. One of them is A4M, Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. I was there earlier, well, it was actually December of last year. It was the biggest conference that they had. I believe the number that they had was over was close to 5,000 providers were there. So there is a movement coming forward, but right now it's all still self-pay.
Yeah, that is a little disheartening, unfortunately, but
I know.
you're
Yeah.
right. In the long run, it would save a fortune
Oh, absolutely.
instead
Yeah.
of people getting sick, avoiding getting
Yeah.
sick. I guess one of the things that I want to make sure we don't leave out is how can people find out more information about you and, frankly, your approach, which is somewhat different than most of traditional medicine?
Absolutely. One of the first people that introduced me to this was a primary care provider here that I went to go see because I've heard of what he did. And he spent an hour with me. going through my labs, and I was shocked. So that it actually changed the way that I practice. I feel when somebody comes in to me to see me, I'm going to take the time to listen to them, and I'm going to explain to them to the best of my ability what is going on and where we're moving. Easiest way to get a hold of me is through the website www.livehealthstrong, all one word, livehealthstrong.com. There's a little tab in there that'll say let's talk, something like that. Absolutely, you will talk with me. I don't have a salesperson that you're going to talk to. We'll talk for about 30 minutes and see if we're a good fit. If we're a good fit and we're both on the same page and the client is a person who wants to move forward and they have the right mentality, I'm all in. I feel like can help them.
Where are you? Where are you physically?
Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine.
Well, how can people actually take advantage of your thought processes and your process in general from afar?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two ways of doing that. Andrew is a perfect example. I currently have one of the reasons I refer to my clients as clients and not patients. I have clients in all as far as South Florida, North Dakota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. If I'm going to prescribe medications, if I'm going to write them a prescription, whether it's testosterone or estrogen for women, progesterone, metformin, they have to come and see me in the state of Florida at least once a year. I can't get around that. Those are the laws. Now, if it's somebody who just wants to do the coaching part of this without the prescriptions, and we're going to stick to lifestyle and supplements, you could be anywhere. They could be anywhere. Like,
So
well,
does
that's where all my clients are.
someone have to get blood and get the swab done where they are? Okay.
Yeah, I can do all of that
Can you do a lab?
over mail. The swab, the kit gets sent to them directly to the house. They do the little swab, send it back. I send in a prescription to either the requisition for labs. It's either LabCorp or Quest. I can send that in. It all gets, if the clients give me a deposit, then I pay for it and then they can go get it done or they can go pay the lab directly. It doesn't bother me. I'm not making any money off the labs.
Well,
I
tell
just.
me a little bit about how much are we talking about? I think people need to know that.
Of course, yeah. There's different price points. It just depends on how much somebody, the full set of labs, which is again another one of these mind-blowing things that you run across when you start doing this. The labs that I order, if I order you the set of labs that I order, you go to your primary care to order that, your insurance is going to get billed over $2,000 for those labs. Okay. If you go and pay for those labs yourselves, it's around $345. That's how ridiculous this is. When I went to my primary care and told him I want these labs done, he ordered them for me, and my insurance said, you have a deductible. Your deductible is $1,500. You got to pay the $1,500 before we pay for the labs. That doesn't make any sense. So I just paid the labs myself. I paid $345. I got the labs done myself. I don't need a permission slip from somebody, from a doctor, no offense, to tell me I can go get my labs. I want to get my labs done. I just want to go get my labs. I just got to pay $345. I think that is okay. Only problem with that is New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. Those states you cannot get your blood drawn like that. You have to go see a primary care in that state for them. So they're making money on your visit. You go get the labs, they're making money on the labs, and then you got to go back to the doctor again for him to spend 10 minutes with you, maybe 7 minutes is the average for him to go over those labs with you. If that's that's those three states are special.
Well, this is really a different, I think the most important thing today is the different approach that you bring to wellness. I'm not even going to say disease, I'm going to say wellness.
Yeah, that's the way I like to look at it. Yeah, longevity, health span. Yeah.
You seem to be focusing in on using information, very detailed information, to make people as healthy as they can with as small an intervention as possible.
That's a great, I mean, I think you said it better than I do. I think that's fantastic. Just little things make a big difference. We just start to stack them. One piece by itself may not make much of a difference, but you start to stack two or three things, and over a couple of weeks and over a month, makes a huge difference. Another analogy that I like to use is, if you set a plane in a trajectory towards from New York to Los Angeles, everything is straight, you're squared up, it's, that plane takes off and it's supposed to land. Right as the plane is taking off, you change it 1 degree. Pilot changes it 1 degree. Nobody on that airplane can tell anything changed. That plane's already not getting to Los Angeles. The plane's been flying for half an hour, he changes it another degree. Nobody on the airplane can tell that anything changed. A little bit later, changes it another degree. That plane may end up in Seattle. Okay, it's not going to end up in Los Angeles. So when I'm working with my clients and as we're working through this, I like to have them look back for a minute and go, "Hey, where do you think you'd be right now if you hadn't started doing this 6 months ago?" And everybody can tell me the same thing. Like, "Oh my God, I can't even imagine where I would be right now without your help."
Andrew, how do you want to summarize this vis-a-vis your own experience? Because I haven't had the experience you have.
I mean, it's absolutely been, I mean, it has been life-changing. I mean, it's been small things from, losing fat, kind of adjusting workouts to hit that zone two workout stuff, to bigger things like the testosterone. Like I used to have to take naps in the middle of the day. Now I don't need to anymore. So having a lot more energy. So it's just getting me to a spot. I was, I already had a pretty healthy lifestyle, counting calories. Dad, you and mom taught me all those things. But this just gives me an extra edge to get it over the top.
Before you may give me too much credit, I also gave you that cholesterol stuff.
That's true. That's partly your fault
There you
too.
go. Yeah,
No,
exactly.
there's no question about it. We have a very strong family history of coronary artery disease, including me. So
Right. Yeah. So, yep.
you're jumping on top of it at this point in your life is extremely
Yeah.
well.
Yeah. Perfect example. Getting ahead, way ahead of this.
Right. I wish I
Instead
had
of,
been. I wish I had been that smart.
yeah, we should have had a conversation 20 years ago. But
It would have been 40 years ago, but
I
okay, thank you.
yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
And not to like brag, but like some people are surprised by my age when I tell them my
Oh,
age.
absolutely. Same
And
here.
that's definitely after the 3 or 4 years that Rich and I have been working together, the omega-3s,
I
like you
can
said, the testosterone, the berberine, all those little things. And it's not
Berberine is a
that.
great example. We didn't really mention that too much when we're talking about the blood sugar, blood glucose control. Berberine helps speed up your metabolism. It helps you lose weight and naturally. It's not like pseudoephedrine or one of these things. It just speeds up your natural metabolism. It helps you burn glucose better. It starts to drop your blood sugar levels. Your A1C starts to improve. Totally natural supplement. It comes from a plant. It's a plant-based. Science behind it. It helps with fight immune your helps your immune system. A million reasons why berberine is a good option. Helping anybody at any age put a little bit more muscle on or save muscle is going to extend their lifespan. They're going to feel better.
I
Preventing
hope so.
one fall. Preventing one fall. Somebody can catch themselves on a railing and they don't go over and they don't break their hip. Who knows how many more years they're going to live just because they were able to hold themselves up on that railing and not fall.
I'm counting on
I think
it.
one of the other important pieces is we talk about high athletes, like we'll talk about football players, baseball players. If you can get an extra edge from doing something that is legal and isn't peds, I think this is a great
100%.
opportunity to
Absolutely.
introduce. I mean, they probably already are. I assume that a bunch of the team doctors, and
Of
I don't know
course,
if you've had experience with pro teams, Rich. I
So
assume
only
that.
one. I do, so far only one. Working on that. Probably next year things might change a little bit. I'm gonna cover the Jacksonville Icemen, the hockey team. So I'm gonna be one of the medical providers for the team. So as I'm talking to them, I will also introduce the idea of health optimization. These guys work hard. A lot of them have bad shoulders, and they've just been resorting to 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, 3 or 4 times a day. It's killing their kidneys and their gut, and they're having other issues. So yeah, there's definitely opportunity there to help professional athletes for sure.
I don't
So
know that a lot of
I think,
professional athletes will listen to us, but
yeah,
we're
I
hoping
know,
that.
but I'm saying, the opportunity is there.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I think, Rich, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Amazing. Like, I have personally benefited from your work. So I really
Thank you.
appreciate
Thank
all
you.
you've
That's
done. I
great
need
to
to take
hear.
more steps. I need to do the genetic testing. I haven't gotten there yet, but I will. But is there any final words that you'd like to give to our audience before we head out?
The way I like to think of this, it's personalized, your genetics, precision, it's built for you. I'm going to put all this together, and then it's performance driven. The performance part is that's why we retest about every 3 to 4 months. Once we get things steady and we know where we are, we don't have to do it every 3 to 4 months. We can go out to twice a year. But those three things, it's personalized, precision, and performance driven. If healthcare did that for all of us, this country would be in a much better place. But right now we're treated like herd. Oh, they did a test. It's good for this many people. It's got to be good for you too. That's not good medicine.
Not good medicine at all.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We really
Hey,
appreciate it,
Rich,
and we'll have to have
thank
you
you.
back.
Thank you guys for having me on. I would love to be back. I love these conversations. This is what I love to do. Very passionate about this, and I know that the future's wide open. I know that we're moving in the right direction. Slowly, but we're moving in the right direction.
Thank you so much for joining A New Prescription. We're so excited that you stopped by. Please join us on our social pages at A New Prescription. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel at A New Prescription YouTube. Remember, your health is the most important thing to you. We'll see you next time.